Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. We're learning Shmos Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parashas Shmos today. The topic of our Aliyah is Moshe's resistance. It is a longer Aliyah of 24 psukim from Perek Gimel to Zayin to Dalet Yud Zayin. And let's take a look at a basic overview and then jump into some questions. We're in the middle of the dialogue between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is asking Moshe Rabbeinu to go as his agent to free the people of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu has asked two questions up till now. He said, "Who am I?" And then he had asked, "What's the name that I should present?" Now Hashem goes into the next stage of the conversation. And he says, "You should go and gather the elders of Israel, and you should say to them that Hashem has appeared to me, and I want to pokadti eschem. I have remembered you. I'm coming to say." And Hashem now tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm going to bring you to this land. That's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu has. And Hashem predicts that they will listen to you. They are going to believe in you. And that Hashem spoke to you. And you're going to now go for 3 days into the desert, ask to sacrifice to Hashem. And I will also make sure that the Pharaoh won't listen to you, and I'll send all my incredible wonders against the Egyptians. And at the end, you will leave not empty-handed, but with a lot of riches, and you will empty out Mitzrayim. So Moshe hears this, and he says, "They're not going to believe me." They said they're going to say Hashem didn't appear to you. So Hashem says, "Okay, well, I'll give you. Let me ask you a question. What's in your hand?" Moshe Rabbeinu says, "A staff." So he says, "Well, throw it down." And it turns immediately into a snake. Moshe Rabbeinu flees in front of it. Hashem says, "Grab its tail." He grabs its tail and turns into a stick again. Then he says, "That's going to be a sign. And if they don't believe in that, well, there's another one. Take your hand and put it into your chest by under your clothes." He takes it out, and it's now it's leprous. It has leprosy. It's psoriasis. He returns it to his chest, and it's back. It's regular. The flesh is returned. And finally, Hashem says, "If they don't believe you again, well, take some water from the river and throw it onto the ground. It will turn into blood." So Hashem now provides Moshe with three signs. Moshe then says to Hashem, "Lo ish tovarim anochi gam itmol gam shoshan. I'm not a man of words. Kavad peh, kavad roshan anochi. I am hard of speech." Moshe Ben has a speech impediment. Hashem says, "But who's in charge of speech? Who's in charge of bodily function? I am. You should go, and I'll tell you what you should say." Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu says one last excuse or one last resistance. He says, "Shlach nabiyat shishlach. Please send it in the hands of another person." At which point, Hashem grows very angry with Moshe. Vayicharav Hashem b'Moshe, and he says, "Your brother Aaron Alevi is going to be coming, and he's going to see you, and he's very happy for you. You're going to tell him all these things, and he will be your mouthpiece. He will speak for you, and you are going to tell him what I'm going to say. So you'll be the prophet, he'll be the orator of this, and you should go and do all these miracles with the staff that I'm sending you." So really a very powerful, very fascinating description over here in our Aliyah, in this dialogue once again. So it's interesting. There's a lot of things that one can think about when I'm trying to understand this over here, and that is why is it Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that they won't believe him? So the one thing which is much as most basic, the Drasha Saran Rabbeinu Nissim points this out, is that if this is the all-powerful, almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu who wants to take them out of Egypt, then why is he saying that it's going to be a three-day trip in the desert and borrowing vessels from their neighbors? It sounds a little bit disingenuous. If he wants to take them out and free them, then free them! Bang down the gates, destroy the walls, and make them march out over the rubble. But to go for a three-day festival and borrowing sounds like it's less powerful, which perhaps seeds doubt as well. However, the Racham HaKadosh says, no, it's not about Moshe Rabbeinu saying that people wouldn't believe. It's really about himself. What he's saying is, he points out the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah talks about what is the requisite requirements for a prophet. And among them are these great lineage and riches and power. There's all kinds of things that the person won't be swayed. But in the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have none of that. That's what the Chaim Ektova points out, is now from the perspective of the people, Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, they're gonna come in, they're gonna say, oh, there was this fellow who grew up in the palace, mostly Egyptian. He saw this fight, then he got involved in too many fights, ran away, and is now suddenly returning and says he's the messenger of God. Nobody's gonna believe me. It's not about them, it's not that they're bad people, it's just who am I? Who am I to really be the Messiah of God in this case? That's what the Chaim Ektova suggests over here as well. So now, what is the meaning of those three signs? Hashem says three signs. Just to recap, there's the staff turning to a snake. There is the hand getting tsaras, and there is also the water turning to blood. What is the meaning of these signs? So the Bechor Shor says a very fascinating thing. He says that these actually reflect the state of Israel in their current place. Number one is the snake. The snake is a reflection of the primordial snake in the Garden of Eden that created the curse of Bezeh Zabecha Toch Alechem. What Hashem is essentially saying is, I know that you're in a state of terrible, hard, back-breaking labor, and I'm going to be able to transform that place as well. The tzaras is also the idea of this leprosy is about the future plagues that are going to be sent against the Pharaoh. That's the idea, the representing of the next stage. And finally, the last stage is the blood turning, the water turning into blood. And this is going to be an idea about the plagues of death, which are going to be brought about them, even finding ending in the by Makas Bechor. So this is sort of a framework of what's about to happen as well in the future. However, Rashi says that there's an element of reprimanding that's going on over here. The primary target over here is also Moshe Rabbeinu being able to understand, because the idea of him perhaps doubting whether the people would believe him was seen as a sin. And therefore, the stick is that he says, as Rashi points out, is chayav lil ata chayav lil kos shecharata b'ksherim. The staff, you should be beaten because of your suspecting innocent people not doing the right thing. The snake is also the snake of Lashon Hara, of evil speech, and the tzaras is the punishment for Lashon Hara. That is means to say that ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu is being reprimanded. The signs are not just to show that he is a prophet, but it's also to show Moshe Rabbeinu that perhaps he should have had a little more belief in the people themselves, even though he thought that they themselves didn't believe. Now, another question to ask is Moshe's speech or lack of speech a deficiency? So it seems like that the way he's presenting it is, yes, it is a deficiency. People won't believe me because, or it will be very hard for me to communicate because of my speech impediment. The Maharal says, actually, no. In fact, it's the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu's speech impediment is the greatest sign of his success, because in the end of the day, we know in history there are many leaders who were extremely good orators and they were terribly evil human beings. And they were able to rile the crowd up and get people to do all kinds of unthinkable things because of their fiery speeches and their brimstone that they brought down from the heaven in their speeches, essentially. Moshe Rabbeinu was not that. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who would be valued for all eternity by all religions, essentially all monotheistic religions, because of his content and values, not because of the way he delivered it. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu uses it as a reason that people won't believe him, ultimately it is something which actually reflects something of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Another question is, what does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Shlach nabi at tishlach," send it in the hands of another? Doesn't sound like there's an argument there. What's the logic of that argument? Says Rashi, what he says is, send in the hands of Aaron or somebody else who can bring them to Israel, which is strange. Why Aaron? What does it have to do with? So the Alter Slobodka used to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about hurting his brother. He was concerned that, look, I'm the younger. I didn't spend time in Egypt as much. I'm not the I don't have a seniority and this perspective. How would it be that now suddenly I become this leader? And even at the stake of the salvation of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is not willing to hurt his brother as well. The Ramban says that it comes down to the most basic hallmark trait of Moshe Rabbeinu, for Ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person, and for a humble person it is very painful to have to accept this, and he just keeps pushing it off. He cannot do it. And this is not about an argument of a particular logic. This is just that Moshe Rabbeinu in character says, this is not who I am, which is why he pushes it off one more time. Finally, one last question is, what is the connection between Hashem's anger and then we're sending Aaron Achicha Halevi, that your brother is going to be coming up? Rashi says that you thought that Aaron was concerned about you being the leader. You thought that it was going to hurt him. Well, that's not the case. He's actually very happy. That's the first thing that's been conveyed. That's the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamentes. And Rashi says, you never have a charonaf in the Torah that doesn't have a implication, some sort of residual effect. So the Gemara in Zochim is quoted here in Kuf Beis, which says that Yishuv ben Korcha explains that's why Moshe Rabbeinu actually lost the intended kahuna. He was supposed to also be the high priest, and because he kept pushing off, Hashem partially listened to him by taking away part of the leadership, which would ultimately be endowed to Aaron, his brother, not to him. He would be the governor, he would be the king, king, but he would not be the priest. And that was what's happening because of his pushing away leadership. It was perhaps too much pushing away. The Malbim has a little bit of a different perspective on this, where he says that ultimately when you have a dual leadership, where you have one is the communicator and one is the prophet, that's all very nice, but at the end of the day, it still means the message is being diluted one more step. There's still one more space for interpretation and presentation. That being the case, Hashem's message would be less strong when it's through that interlocutor. And that is why Hashem is upset, even though he does acquiesce and allows Aaron to be part of the team as well. With this, we conclude the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Shmos. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.